I thought about the scripture, Romans 5, 3 through 4, if you want to get the scripture up there. As I thought about the scripture, you know, and how I was going to try to explain, or my version of it, I thought, well, how complex the scripture must be to these 8 and 9 year old boys, and we have one girl. It really did sound a bit crazy. It says, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, was Paul crazy here? You can go ahead and just leave the scripture up. Rejoice when we run into problems and trials. I mean, did we read what we just read? Is God really serious in His Word that we can have the ability through Jesus to actually rejoice when we suffer hardships? I've watched TV evangelists, and I've heard it many times that God wants His children to have health, wealth, and prosperity. And if you're lacking in those areas, well, you're lacking in faith, or you're just not. You're just not. Your walk isn't right with God. Contrary to those who proclaim an unbalanced theology of a health, wealth, and prosperity, the Bible does tell us to expect to run into problems, trials, and suffering, even tribulations. Not only does the Bible tell us to expect them in the Christian walk, but it goes a step further and tells us that God actually allows them and uses them to develop a Christ-likeness in us. Listen to what Paul wrote about his own life. This is in 2 Corinthians, if you wanted to turn there. 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 3, this is what Paul talks about, talking about his hardships. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right and the left hand, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet guarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many riches, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Would we say that Paul lacked faith because he didn't exercise his authority in Christ to get that health, wealth, and prosperity? Yet this teaching is promoted in some of the churches throughout America. I don't see it in the Bible. What is Paul telling us in our text? What is God saying through His Word? The Bible is telling us that our trials can work for us and not against us. But only we can determine the course. Our attitude will go a long way. It's easier to be happy when things are going good. Not so easy when things are going bad. It's easier to praise God when things are going good. Not so easy when things are going bad. It's easier to trust in God when things are going good, not so easy when things are going bad. We often have a natural tendency to ask the question, why, when we run into trials and hardships. You know, this is our first reaction, and by no means would I say it's wrong. However, when we move beyond the question of why to a place of hope and trust, a confidence in the Lord, God is developing character in us through the trials. It is this strength, this character, that enables us to hope in Christ when our difficulties seem hopeless. In 1 Peter chapter 1, if you wanted to turn there, Peter is talking to a whole host of churches. It's listed in verse 1 who he's talking to. And he's talking to them during a time when Nero is persecuting the churches there, and the emperor is killing thousands, you know, doing numerous different things to them, imprisonment, starvation, you know, lighting them on fire. Peter writes to these churches to start in verse chapter 1, verse 6. This is what he says. In this way, greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What did Paul mean when he tells us to rejoice when we run into trials, when we suffer? I think a good definition of the word rejoice is in order here. The Amplified Bible describes rejoicing as being full of joy right now, exulting in the triumph of our troubles. The Greek word Paul uses for rejoice, in the King James Version it says glory. The Greek word is boast, meaning that in the midst of our times of trials, we have the ability to praise God. I think most of you know that I've worked for Delta Airlines for many years. Up until 2 years ago, most of my time has been spent a graveyard shift. Working days for the past couple of years has been pretty good. I wasn't able to hold this shift on my last bid due to seniority issues, so I've been forced back on the graveyard shift now for 2 weeks. I don't want this to get into a pity me scenario, but what I want you to know is there's a huge difference at my work and the people that work graveyard shift and the work day shift. In my first couple days back on the yard, I couldn't believe the negative, you know, poor me attitude, that black rain cloud that follows the majority of the people around. You know, a lot of the times it's self-induced. Even the smallest setbacks become the biggest problems. You ask someone how they're doing and you're guaranteed to get all their troubles and hardships and their ill health. Oh, woe is me. After talking to the typical graveyard worker at Delta Airlines for about 10 minutes, and probably 10 minutes is all you could handle, you'll feel like the life has just been sucked out of you. Here I am now just finishing up my second week on the shift, and I find that I'm getting sucked in to this pity party. People are always people who are always miserable seem to want company. You know, misery loves company. If we don't watch ourselves, it's easy to become a pity me person. Now, the same kind of thing can happen in our Christian walk. You ever meet a pity me Christian? A pity me Christian is one that has not learned the principle of giving God praise in times of trial, in times of suffering. I would like to think that I've reached this point, like Paul says, of rejoicing when we run into problems and sufferings and trials, for we know that they are good for us. But the truth is, I'm not quite there yet. As a Christian, when we're asked, "How are you doing today, brother or sister?" do we answer by explaining our troubles, our trials, our hardships, our sufferings, our ill health? "Pity is me." Do we want others to feel our misery because of our trials and hardships? You know, it's been beneficial to be honest when we're discussing life with our brothers and sisters, to seek that encouragement and to give support to those who need encouragement. But we must not buy into Satan's lie that all is hopeless and will ever be hopeless. Lose the ability to exult in the joy at the coming triumph of our trials. What did this rejoicing in the midst of trials mean for Paul? Let's put ourselves in his shoes. You know, if he comes up and meets a "pity me" Christian, or you can think about, you know, some of the things that you're enduring or have endured in the past, and you're talking to Paul and whining about this, he would probably answer you the same way he answered the Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. "They say that they serve Christ. I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in jail more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jews gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled many weary miles. I have faced dangers from flooded rivers and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities, in the desert, and on the stormy seas. And I have faced dangers from men who claim to be Christians, but are not. I have lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. Often been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. Often I have shivered with cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of how the churches are getting along. Who is weak without me feeling that weakness? Who is led astray and I do not burn with anger?" Kind of sounds a bit like this morning's message. This morning's message, we learned that in our weakness, God shows His power and His strength. In the conclusion of this chapter, Paul sums it up by saying, "Since I know it is all for Christ's good, I am content. For when I am weak, it is then that I am really strong." Why is it then that Paul can say that in his trials we can be content, or he can be content? Why must we run into hardships? Why doesn't God just deliver us each time and keep us from experiencing pain? The text continues and gives us the answer. Suffering and trials, they actually are good for us because they help us develop in 3 areas. First is perseverance. Think over the times in your life during your Christian walk. Is it not the times when you have faced a drawn-out difficulty that you have discovered something life-changing about Jesus? Something that you can anchor your hope in, knowing that if you face another difficulty in the future, that you'll be able to trust in God? To endure or persevere is the ability to carry through despite the hardships. As parents, we learn this when we're faced with sick children, especially those that are sick seriously. Spouses learn this when their husband or wife become ill or incapacitated. So we learn this when we encounter difficulties that are beyond our control. God often allows difficulties in our life to lead us not to quit, but to endure. And that is when we learn the life-changing lessons that God can be trusted throughout all our difficulties. I have a poem I want you to hear and just meditate upon. Short one. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but do not quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won if he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. We can't give up. You know, I've prayed to God in the past for a request, you know, to be delivered from suffering and difficulties, from hardships and trials. I think sometimes God allows us to experience these because we need to be taught about something about Himself. God's trying to teach us something about Himself. Most often it's probably to trust in Him in an area of our life that we have never trusted before. So endurance teaches us a quiet confidence and a trust in God. Paul goes on to say that perseverance develops in us strength of character. Strength of character. You know what a good definition of character is? It's who you are when nobody is looking. The Bible tells us that God searches our hearts to determine the level of character that has been developed in us. Often character is only refined in us through our suffering. King James Version in our text says that we are to rejoice in our tribulations or have glory in our tribulations. The English word for tribulation comes from the Latin word tribulum. When Paul wrote that we can rejoice in our tribulations, he used a word picture that that his readers could relate to. A tribulum in Paul's day was this heavy timber with spikes. It was used for threshing the grain. The tribulum was drawn over the grain and it separated the wheat from the chaff. As we go through our tribulations, our suffering, and depend on God's grace, the trials only purify us and help us to get rid of the chaff. James, he says the same truth about character development in James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, starting verse 2. Brothers and sisters, whenever troubles come your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has come to grow. So let it grow. For when you endure it, when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. Now, God isn't so much concerned with our comfort as He is our character. The only thing we'll take with us when we stand before God is the character traits of Jesus that we have allowed to be developed in our life. Perseverance leads to strength of character. This leads to one more quality that God wants to perfect in us in His in, through our trials and our sufferings, and that is hope. Hope, in the simplest definition, is to have confidence and trust. This definition ties in well with the context of this passage. The process of difficulties in our lives is this: suffering or tribulation produces an endurance, or if we endure or persevere through our sufferings and tribulation, it will build strength of character, and it all eventually leads down one path. That's an unshakable and confident trust in Jesus. The truth about trials and suffering is simple. Though they are difficult to endure, if we allow God to teach us through our sufferings, we can rejoice, because when the trial is over, we will have learned to trust in Jesus better. When we place our hope in Christ, it is then that we become the masters rather than the victims of our difficulties. So how can I rejoice in my trials? We need to focus on the process instead of the pain. If you hold the course, you will find that you have become a better Christian, a more stronger Christian, a more stable Christian, and a more confident Christian. One promise that the Lord makes to us should give us great comfort in the midst of trial. It's found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. "And I am sure that God, who began a good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus comes back again." As we end this time, I want to leave you with an old song sung by Keith Green. Song that really puts the truth about trials into perspective. It's called "When Trials Turn to Gold." My Lord, my King, my
is all we'll ever need. He's brought me here where things are clear and trials